And on the line now, I have Sabrina Joyce. Good afternoon, Sabrina.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, and thanks very much for taking the call. I spoke to you around the same time last year, I think it was.
That's right. Myself and Terry Gray, one of the Clonshock community representatives, was in. Yeah, it was about a year ago now.
It's been going on longer than this. Now, a bit of good news recently with the court case. But before we get into that, just give us a little bit of history about this wastewater disposal.
Well, originally the scheme was started off as a Greater Dublin Drainage Scheme by Fingal County Council. I think it was as far back as 2006, 2007, the initial sort of plan for how to deal with the additional wastewater requirement for Dublin was looked at. And then it moved in 2012 towards a number of sites on the north side of Dublin. Initially, it was going to go up in Portrane, and then a fuss was kicked up there, and they were able to prove under environmental considerations that that wasn't the right place for it. And they went back to the drawing board and started consultations again around 2012. Now, I actually got involved at that stage and was very clear about the restrictions that would be placed on choosing the site selection sort of along Blanche St. Clonshock out by Portmarnock due to a number of different reasons, which included the environmental protected areas, one of the few wetlands on the north side of Dublin which was protected, and the fact that the Rockabilly to Dalkey SAC had recently just been protected as well. Now, despite those early sort of, I suppose, aspects of getting involved, Fingal County Council, as it was then, decided to go ahead and chose the route. And again, there was consultations, and again, we raised a number of other issues. And it eventually was taken over by Irish Water about 2015, and the consultations then continued, and I was at many of them and again raised my concerns, and again Irish Water decided to keep going. And the problem was that by kind of digging their head in the sand and going ahead with this and not revisiting the Rockabilly to Dalkey, which is, it's a massive expanse of marine area from the Rockabilly up by Skerries down to Dalkey, which was made to protect Harbour Porpoise in the Irish Sea. And it's because Harbour Porpoise are endangered. And when that happened, it really should have just stopped, because there's no real way for them to be able to pump pollutants into the sea that's going to disrupt the lifeline of Harbour Porpoise. But it was Irish Water who decided, they didn't listen, decided to go ahead. And now we're in a situation where the reason we won the ground of the court case was because they hadn't properly consulted with the EPA. Now, there was a number of other grounds that we felt should have been carried through, but that was the one we won on. And the EPA would have responsibility for the water modelling and water quality. And Bord Pinnalla themselves, like the 10 board members, they would be experienced in certain areas of their field and planning, but none of them are ecologists, and none of them are experienced in water modelling or in water quality. And they didn't bring any external consultants. They relied solely on what Irish Water put before them. And they didn't consult with the EPA. Now, they requested the EPA to consult, and when the EPA said no, they didn't push it any further. So that's the problem. Under law, when you have a planning application of this size and the impacts on the water, you're supposed to consult, you're supposed to get the expert advice, and before granting permission, you have to be scientifically sure that there won't be any impact on bathing waters, on marine mammals, on shellfish industry, and on the fishing industry. And they failed to do that, which is why the judge has deemed that it should go back to the board or be quashed outright and start again.
Okay. And the court case, was that just on environment? No, I don't mean just on. Was it all about the environment, environmental issues?
No, it wasn't. There was public health concerns that we raised as well. There was, up by Clonshock, the area where it is actually between sort of the M50 and the Malahide Road. So areas affected would be sort of, you know, Kinsealy, Malahide, if anybody's ever smelled the coffee coming from the Bewley's factory, you know, you would be getting the smell of sewage and gas coming out. But they decided to put in a biogas storage facility on the site. But they tried to kind of put it under the mantle of the wastewater treatment plant. And when you have a biogas storage facility, it's supposed to be registered under the Seveso Directive, which is a something that was put into law to protect people from explosive and hazardous material. And that's actually illegal on a greenbelt, which is where this is. You can't put it on a greenbelt because greenbelts are generally between communities and, you know, industry and that. And we felt that that should have been addressed, and that was one of the reasons why we took the court case. And there's numerous other health issues, the odour issues. We felt that there would still be an issue there, and they had two different decisions, one for Ringsend and one for ours, which both had the biosolids facility on it, but they had two different levels of odour. And we said, how can you have two? How do we enforce that? And, you know, so we brought that as well. But it wasn't just environment. I mean, there's, you know, the animals may be more protected, but there are people in communities that will be severely impacted by this massive plant. And there was also concerns about putting a plant and a hazardous gas, explosive gas facility under the flight path to Dublin Airport, which was another issue that we raised.
Yeah.
So we just felt that the site selection fell down very, very badly. And a lot of these issues weren't raised in the early stages. And so the site selection was kind of weighted towards one decision. None of the other sites were really, you know, sort of looked at in terms of the risk of airplanes and flight paths. So I think we started off with the environment, but as we looked in deeper to it, we saw, you know, this is going to affect communities right from Blanchardstown to Portmoran, not just at the end where I happen to live. And that's why we decided to take the case. And that's why we have such a public interest support behind us. Each of those communities have put a representative on our steering committee.
Yeah,
and we did it from there.
And this was a community really getting together, particularly for the fundraising, for the finances that were needed for this.
No, it was all about the communities. I mean, my name might be on it, but, you know, it was funny. We all met at the oral hearing. We all came in with our little individual statements at the oral hearing, and we're listening to each other, and, you know, became a bit shocked by everybody obviously focused on their own area and knew the, you know, particular issues for their own area. Like Meekstown would have the sludge storage facility. Clonshock obviously had the plant itself. We had the outfall and the contaminants that would be coming from that and the tunnel boring under protected areas. So we were all listening to each other and going, this is bigger than each of us had imagined. And we sat down and we had a chat one lunchtime in between everything and decided, let's stop fighting individually and let's get together and try to protect all of the communities along the pipeline and beyond. And that's what we did. And I have to say, they're a wonderful group of people. They really are. I mean, from, as I said, Blanchardstown, Meekstown, you have Coolock and Clonshock, Riverside, Kinsealy, Howth, Sutton, Portmarnock, members of Malahide as well, all the way along. And I have to say, they're an amazing group of people and they're so focused. And what I love about them is it stopped being about them personally and started being about the greater good in Dublin. And that's what this has become. And I'm very proud to be a part of it.
Yes. Now, I remember when I started covering this, I forget who I was talking to, but it was mentioned that they could have built smaller, say three or four smaller versions of this.
Well, that was one of the options that we put, and they said that it would be too expensive, or it wouldn't be, you know, fiscally, it wouldn't make sense in terms of money. But the problem that we saw, and we didn't know it at the time, it wasn't until afterwards, that one third of this plant is solely to deal with Intel's wastewater, and another large section of it is to deal with waste coming from meat. Now, the difficulty with that is that when it comes to industry, under European law, the polluter pays principle, the industry should really be dealing with their own waste to such an extent that when it's released from their plant, all contaminants and pollutants really should be removed. And what's happening here is that we are going to have to deal with large amounts of nitrogen, ammonia, heavy metals that will be coming from the Intel plant. And the facility that they had proposed would not be able to remove all of those pollutants, so they would be going into the sea, into Dublin Bay, a UNESCO biosphere. And we strongly felt that that should be revisited in the best available technology and, you know, the ability for an industry with such wealth as Intel to deal with their own wastewater. And then the same with County Meath. Meath County Council are in a very difficult position because they don't have their own wastewater treatment plant up there. And that's unfair. They should have control of their own waste network. they should be able to decide how much load they get in without Fingal saying, oh, you know, we can't accommodate everything that you need into our plant, because Fingal would be in control of it with Irish Water. So we felt that, you know, there's plenty of land up in Meath, and there would be the ability for, you know, sort of a wetland, smaller plant up there. And then that would leave us with a much smaller facility that could be on a much safer site that wouldn't impact on communities so much, a new selection process. And let's use best available technology. Irish Water kept talking about best available technology, but at the end of the day, it was 15 years old. From the time that it was, you know, sort of rolled out in 2005 as a Greater Dublin Drainage Scheme, it hadn't really changed that much. And the plans were all indicative. They weren't able to tell us exactly what was going on the site. So they kept saying best available technology, but we didn't see it. It was secondary treatment when it started. And then they were forced into UV treatment. And we found evidence that from their own expert that the UV treatment still wouldn't be safe. And it would impact on the shellfish industry off Dublin, off Malahide shellfish waters. So what we're hoping will come out of this is a much smaller plant on the three plants. Sort of, Intel would look after their own wastewater. We'd have Meath would have the facility to be able to cater for themselves and control their own wastewater, and we would have a much smaller plant in North Dublin then to deal with the balance, which would have the ability to again maybe use integrated wetlands or a technology that would clean the wastewater and the sludge, removing phosphorus and nitrogen to a level that would make the water much safer to be able to dispose of into a water body. And the only reason why it's not happening at the moment is because they're saying it's too expensive. But at the end of the day, if we're going to put our waste into the sea or into natural water bodies, we should be spending the money to clean it. And that should be coming out of the general taxation, in our opinion. So that's kind of where we're at the moment.
Yeah. And I was talking to a resident from Clonshock there the other day, and they reckon that they've actually started work on this site. Is that correct, Sabrina?
Well, it's a very large area between the M50 and the Malahide Road. I believe that the IDA actually have a site there at the moment, remediating medical waste and other items that were dumped there back in the early 2000s or so, when it was an illegal dump site. And they had been for years trying to get planning permission for it, and then the planning had lapsed, and they've only just gotten another planning to remove. I think that's what the site is. There's also another site where they're putting in a new ESD substation a little bit further up. Now, I haven't been up there. It's a very difficult site to get to stock your car and have a look. I would like to hope that they haven't started any works, because they haven't met any of the conditions of planning yet. So if they have gone ahead, their, you know, enforcement would be required because of the fact that, you know, obviously now that it's been remitted, you know, it's been overturned. Which is the reason why these projects shouldn't start until all legal options have been exhausted. But I would like to think that that wasn't the case and that it is the other two sites. But we'll see. It's another issue. Poor Clonshock with the remediation of medical waste as well. They're not having a good year of it at all.
Well, hopefully, it's not. The work hasn't started on that site yet, because it would be very hard to get rid of it. And I also heard, I'm not sure. It was you I was talking to about it, even when they start building this, if they started building it, it would affect the local area as well, because of all the dust and dirt and everything.
Oh, absolutely. The construction waste and the construction dust and everything will be horrific. I mean, it's a massive site to be cleared. And you're going to have trucks going up and down and in and out. The number of trucks, I can't remember the figure offhand, but it was quite shocking, the number of construction trucks. And they did admit that it was going to add a significant amount of time for people waiting at junctions as well. And yet there's nothing you can do. Close your doors and windows and, you know, clean your car every day from the dust. And, you know, that is something that we felt wasn't properly addressed when it came to the actual overall impact of this project on the local communities.
And I believe St. Francis Hospice was one of the organisations mentioned that they would have to keep their window closed.
Yeah, it was pretty horrific. If you think about people who are trying to, you know, they're in a hospice, so that, you know, it's the end of their life, and they're trying to live every day as best they can, and they're told that during the summer months you're going to have to close all your windows and doors, and especially in a time like we have now with COVID, where ventilation has proved to be so important. If there's any lingering effects of COVID, you know, when these or similar respiratory illnesses, when this starts, then there'll be the added kind of, it'd be like a double jeopardy. You have to close the windows and you can't get fresh air. But, you know, when you're going outside or walking around, there'll also be, you know, the impact of that particulate in the air that will, you know, add to respiratory issues. So, yeah, it is very concerning to have the route going past the hospice, which was, again, something that we opposed. And Betty was one of the ladies from Malahide, who particularly opposed it and did a very good job of putting an argument. But again, it was overruled and the windows were closed, and that was the way it was to be dealt with.
Right, now this case, it's a big step forward, and but it is, which is one step.
It is. You know, we felt we should have won on more grounds, and I have to say that our legal team, Oisín Collins and of O'Connell Clark Solicitors and Margaret Heavey, were absolutely superb. It was a long 11 days, or 13, I think it turned out in the end. And we did get the order quashed and overturned. It does have to go back to the board. There is a possibility that it may be appealed by An Bord Pleanála, so we are waiting to see what they're going to do. We have to go back into court next week to discuss how it gets sent back to the board, or if it's just quashed outright and a whole new file has to be done. So we'll be putting those arguments in next week, and we're waiting to see if any of the notice parties, which were Irish Water was a notice party, and then the actual people on the court case itself was An Bord Pleanála and the Attorney General of the Irish State. So if any of those want to appeal as well, we'll have to wait and see. And there'll be another fight. If they do appeal, we will have cross appeals, though, where we feel, you know, there should be other arguments revisited. So the process isn't over. We're delighted with what happened so far, but it's not over yet.
Okay, Sabrina, listen, congratulations on the first battle won.
Thanks a million.
Is there anything you'd like to add now before we go?
I think the only thing I have to say is that I'm delighted to see so many community people getting involved in sort of controlling their environment and what happens around them, and trying to influence how planning developments and climate change and other, you know, very pertinent things interact. And I'd just like to thank absolutely everybody who donated to this campaign. It was their win. It was because of them that it happened. And we hope that we can come up with a sustainable alternative so that Dublin can grow, but we can all live healthy and happily in the fantastic Dublin Bay and Dublin area that we have.
Okay, and if there's listeners out there, they only want to keep in touch, or they want to keep informed, is there a Facebook page or a website?
Yeah, I suppose the best thing to do would be to go to, we have a GoFundMe page, but we keep updates on it that you can read through, yeah, so you can see what's happening. And the easiest way to get to that is to go to iwillsign.eu. That's iwillsign.eu. And that will redirect you directly to that page. And then you can see we put updates every couple of months on what's happening, and you can keep up to speed there.
Okay, Sabrina, listen, thanks very much for taking the call, and it's great work you're doing out there, so congratulations again, and I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Thank you so much, John, and to everyone there at NIRFM. Hope you guys have a good day.
Oh, you too. Thank you, Sabrina.
Bye-bye.